Because I have a bad, bad habit. If I don't think that someone wants to listen to me, I just kind of stop. Like one time I like walked out of the room, like I was sharing a story and I was like, I think they're just kind of all done listening. And I wasn't upset. I just kind of like walked away. And then my friend came up to me like, where'd you go? And I was like, oh, well, you know, I think you weren't listening to that story. So I just kind of stopped telling it. They're like, no, I was listening. And I was like, well, like your back was turned to me and you were like cooking. Like, how would I have known that you were listening, you know?
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and with the power of his spirit, do better. So together we can be a little better. Well, welcome back to the Little Better podcast. We're currently in a series called By Design, of talking about how God has designed our relationships for flourishing and healthy relationships. And this week is an interesting one. I think it's all one that we can identify with. But I'm going to start with this. This is a quote from David French in his book called Faithful Presence. He says this: when the church is this faithful presence, God's kingdom becomes visible. And the world is invited to join with God. Faithful presence is not only essential for our lives as Christians, it is how God has chosen to change the world. And the reason why I bring up presence is because we're talking about listening. And listening is this way in which we are present with God, with others. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, really important for us to be good listeners so that we can be that faithful presence and bring that to that presence of God, of ourselves to the world. It's the way, as he says, is how he's designed to change the world. And so, Drew, I'd love for you to frame for us the message this week as we're talking about listening.
Yeah, we just talked about the power of listening in our relationships. We talked about ultimately like what listening is. It's not just hearing, it's hearing, but also understanding and feeling the emotion and the intent from somebody else. And I think one of the things that I really learned from this message was just an insight of Jesus, that Jesus was a good listener. I think when you describe Jesus, that's probably not a word that is ever thrown out. And we see all throughout his ministry, we talked about two examples of Jesus just listening to people, listening to people teach, even when he knew all the answers, and listening to people who were overlooked, told to be quiet, marginalized. And so we just see this layer of Jesus that we often don't see. And I think he models it for us. And out of that, right, we should be good listeners in our relationships.
So there's three areas I want to cover in today's episode. One is listening to others. One is listening to God. And one is listening to self, which is maybe a little obscure. But I want to kick off, this is probably going to be most of our time, is listening to others. And I'd love to get, what wisdom do you have for our listeners? Let's get a little practical at the beginning. What are some of maybe the pitfalls to listening well? And how can we listen well to one another? What does that look like?
Do you want to start or do you want me to?
It sounds like you're modeling listening well.
Why, Drew, thanks for asking. I can tell you want to hear my answer.
I do. I'm ready.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and start. So I think one of the things that's really important that Drew touched on in the message was just not being distracted. So I think one of the things that I've been continually challenged with is creating enough margin to be able to listen. So you see Jesus, he's roaming around doing his ministry, he has these intentional places he's going to go, but then he will just stop everything. So it doesn't mean that having margin to be able to listen doesn't mean that I have nothing going on, but that I'm not so tightly scheduled that I have literally no time or else I would be failing in one of my other responsibilities. And so I think that one, creating enough margin to be able to create space for others to know that I am present with them is really important. And so like sometimes that does look like stopping when someone calls for you, like the blind man was calling out to Jesus. But other times that means creating spaces and welcoming people in to talk to you. So giving them a phone call, creating space to sit down, going out to coffee. I think we all do those things. But having that intentional margin to say, hey, I'm making time because you are important and your thoughts and emotions are things that I want to process with you. I think the people who've been like the most impactful in my spiritual walk are people who have time for me. And I know that they're going to listen to the things that I have to say. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think most practically, I think distractions is the number one thing that keeps us in our culture today, is just the distractions of all the things that we have that we at some level place an importance on over people, right? Mm-hmm. I love that word presence. We are just not present. We are often present in a different world than the world that's right in front of us. And I think that kills distraction. I think one thing that I as I looked at Jesus a little bit more, is we view listening as like, I'm going to turn on my ears and I'm going to turn them off. Right. But like, if you watch Jesus, it's almost as if he's always listening, right? The story of Bartimaeus, right? He's actually on a mission going, they're leaving the city and he's interrupted and he hears, right? This wasn't like a planned, like, oh, really important person. Let me lean in here. He just always had his ears attentive to hear and to listen to needs, to people talking. And, you know, I think that's a layer of listening that I want to get to, that my ears are always ready to hear what God has to say to me, like in my relationship with him, but also in my relationships around me.
I love the term interruptible, which is kind of what you're talking about. It's like there's an ability to like listen and be interruptible. When it comes to distractions, how do you guys struggle with being present if we're kind of not using it fully synonymously, but you can't be present without being a good listener? In what ways do you guys struggle being present, and how do you see this kind of world of distraction playing into that more broadly?
Okay, if we're getting practical here, I think that I use sometimes this like, do you need me listening at 100%? Or I'm like, I'm dead serious. Or is this like a 50% listening situation? Right. Because some people love to talk. They're just constantly sharing something, saying anything. And sometimes these are just mild stories and they're just kind of, and they don't need me to stop doing the dishes, turn around, stare right in their soul and listen deeply. You know, like life goes on. We got to do stuff. Yep. But then there's other times where all of a sudden they're talking. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I better turn this off. And like, I better like turn off the like the stove and just listen to what someone has to say. This happened to me yesterday. I was grilling fish and I had to like turn the burners off and like give somebody my full undivided attention because something hard had happened. And I was like, okay, I need to stop doing what I'm doing and I'm just going to burn dinner if I don't turn this up. So I think that there's these like 100% moments and then there's just kind of like everyday chit chat. And I could be so focused that I would like get nothing done if I was on 100% listening all the time.
I think for me, one thing that my wife has really helped me with is, you know, let's say I come home and I'll come home a little early to be with the kids, but I'm still working. And so I'll have my phone with me and I think I'm actually adding value by being there. But my wife will constantly remind me, like, Drew, you being present but not present isn't beneficial. It's actually a detriment, right? And she's like, just pick and choose your times. Like when you're here, be here. And when you're not, like if you've got to work, go to your office. She's like, you know, and I think it's one thing that I'm learning is like, hey, don't do like this, you know, half and half, right? Like where like you're present, but you're not. Cause like my kids get frustrated more with me when I'm there, but I'm not listening.
Right.
And I think I'm like, but I'm here and like, I'm around you more. Like, but I've learned just like, hey, if I come home and I got work to do, I just go to my office, I do the work so I can be present. I think the 50-50 thing is more confusing than it is beneficial.
I've really struggled with that. And Carly, my wife's brought that to my attention many times. And to the point where I like dumbed down my phone. I still have access to all the apps, but simply just sort of like, well, not all the apps. I deleted social media, which I want to get to in a minute, but just purely by like simplifying, even like my home screen, right? Normally I have this on black and white, but I dumbed it down where that's all I see. As opposed to like, I mean, I can switch over and go, but like I'm not scrolling through pages of a bunch of apps because that even just visually, it's like, oh my goodness, captured my attention. But I'm definitely guilty of that as well. Let's hit the elephant in the room of social media. I think it's one of these things that we've kind of touched on a little bit in the past, but when it comes to listening well, being good listeners, being present, how do you guys see social media as being so detrimental to it, and what do we do about it?
Well, I think it's detrimental because we find ourselves scrolling so much, right? Like aimlessly scrolling, right? Needlessly scrolling. And I think one of the easiest solutions to social media, I think, you know, some people think just delete it altogether. And at some level, that could be true for some people. But I think there are some things that social media can bring to the table that, you know, you don't just destroy the whole thing, right? Set boundaries, right? Like on my phone, I am limited on the amount of social media that I can have. And I don't know the password. My wife knows the password. And
do you mind sharing the limit?
I think right now it's set at, it's either 30 minutes or an hour. I don't really time it,
sure. But
I just know when it's up, it's up. And some days it's up and some days it's not. But just, and like, there's no perfect limit, but like, within reason, like create a limit, have somebody else set the password that like, that way you can't read, like, if you set the password, this is what happened. You're going to ask for more time and you're going to know the password and you're just, it's not going to help at all. Yeah. So like, I just think aimless scrolling, like I was scrolling some boredom. Like when we're bored in our culture today, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. We aimlessly scroll. And so I think that's one simple practical solution that if you're not going to delete it, like set boundaries.
Yeah. I think about even like your phone, if you're like out to dinner with someone or like go over for dinner or starting to spend intentional time with a friend or family member and they're like on their phone, there's just something about that just communicates to me. Mm-hmm. Like
even like when you get to the restaurant and then everyone just like plops their phone down on top of the table.
Or I'm like, oh, who are you talking to? And I'm like, don't ask that. That is totally inappropriate to ask. I'm like, I want to know. Cause I'm like, well, what's going on that phone over there? You know? Yeah. So I think like,
I like that, by the way. I like that as a little jab. It's like, if someone's on their phone, it's like, what are they saying?
Who you got? Who you got? I mean, I try not to do that, but still think it's kind of rude. But I think it's just a kind of thing that we go to brainlessly. Mm-hmm. It's just aimless, completely unthoughtfully. Just do it. We just respond. And I'll do that with not just social media, but like the weather app. Like Redfin housing, like looking at houses, like there's different things. It doesn't have to be social media that I just get into a habit of checking because of boredom. Yep. And so I think like having spaces or times where you're like, you know, it's great to check my phone between 5 and 6 o'clock, but 6 o'clock is dinner. And then I do not need to have my phone during dinner or I'm going to go on a walk and I'm going to intentionally leave my phone at home so I can just take a break from being connected in and just have time, you know, for the person I'm with, or even just for me and God to have time together.
Even like, I think simple rules, don't have your phone at dinner, right? Like put it up. I would even say, don't bring your phone to bed.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Single person. Let me speak to some men, right? You bringing your phone to your bedroom. Guess what that often leads to? Things you shouldn't be looking at, right? Married couples, right? Bringing your phone to bed. How sad is it? Two married people laying in bed, and I'm guilty of this, so I'm not judging nobody. Ashley and I will be laying in bed next to each other, not talking, scrolling on our phones, right? Plug your phone in the kitchen, leave it there when you go to bed, right? Like these are just simple, hard, practical steps that will help listening and communication.
Yeah. And then when you wake up in the morning, what are you checking first? Like people check their text messages, they check their email, they check all this stuff before you actually spend any time with God. Yeah. And like I was doing that. I'm like, how good is my time with God going to be after I read 10 emails that I didn't give myself time to respond to? I just read what the work would be for the day just to start myself off with a dose of reality. And then I'm going to try to just like clear my brain to spend time with God. And I've done that so many times. And I was like, nope, we're not doing that. I do not need my phone that early in the morning. I can read a real Bible. Mm-hmm. And like opening up a physical Bible for me is just like a step where it's like, I don't have the option to get distracted by anything else because I'm opening up the Bible.
So much of social media, I'll even make this parallel. So I found that, I remember growing up, my dad come home from work and he would sit down tired after a long day at work and open up the newspaper. And me as like a kid, I'm like, you want to play? And he's like, I'm too tired. And not every time, I don't want to throw my dad under the bus, but I found that I was doing the same thing coming after work and my newspaper was my phone or my social media. Mm-hmm. And really had to be like, even those conversations with Carly was like, can you be here? really had to dial that back in and seeing how, I don't know what it was for my dad, but for me, and I think for all of us, whether it's news, the weather, social media, YouTube, you name it, there's something in it, something in us that we're trying to avoid. It's an avoidance mechanism. And you can read more about this in The Anxious Generation. I know there's a bunch of people in our church that have read this. Especially if you have kids, I highly recommend this book. It goes into the effects neurologically of social media. Even our phones, they're designed to capture our attention. And so if something is sapping our attention, it's sapping our presence to that thing, and it removes it away from where our presence ought to be going, which is to God and to others. I'd love to stay a little bit practical before we move on from this. There's a term, active listening. I'd love to talk some of these practical things of like, how do we, if someone wants to learn to simply be a good listener, what does that look like for them? Because you in your message, you talked about like pride being an issue, distractions. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that a decent amount. Emotional reactivity. Those are like things that we need to deal with for sure. We can talk about that, or we can talk about like what are some tools in which we can apply to become better listeners.
I have a friend who, when you have a conversation, you're like she's not talking, but sometimes she's just totally stone faced, and I'm like, are you hearing me? You know, are you there? Are you listening? I think like reflective listening looks like nod your head a little bit. So we've had these conversations.
Say amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me like a, oh, I totally feel that way too. Like, give me just like a little interject, like a, you agree with me, you're hearing me. Maybe like, I'm hearing you say this, or how did that feel? Or just give me something, you know, if I'm telling a story and it's 15 minutes, you shouldn't be stone faced the whole time. Mm-hmm. So like those kinds of things, like nod at your body language can say a lot about if you're listening or not. And if you're nodding, and if you're, you know, or saying, oh my goodness, or like just interject a little bit and gives me like a, okay, this person's still with me. I'm going to keep sharing, because I have a bad habit. If I don't think that someone wants to listen to me, I just kind of stop. Like one time I like walked out of the room, like I was sharing a story, and I was like, I think they're just kind of all done listening. And I wasn't upset, I just kind of like walked away. And then my friend came after me like, where'd you go? And I was like, oh, well, you know, I think you weren't listening to that story, so I just kind of stopped telling it. They're like, no, I was listening. And I was like, well, like your back was turned to me and you were like cooking. Like, how would I have known that you were listening, you know? So I just walked away. So I think those are like simple things. I mean, like look somebody in the face, give them a little amen. And that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think having certain conversations in the right atmosphere too helps, right?
That's good.
Like posturing yourself to listen is sometimes environmental. I have really bad ADD. And if I'm trying to listen to someone and there's so many, like just like things going on, my kids are screaming, like that doesn't set up for good listening. And so put yourself in an environment.
I've told Carly, cause like get into bed and she'll want to talk. And I'm like, as soon as I'm flat, like, I'm fading. I'm finding it really, really hard to listen. So I was like, if we need a conversation about something, it can't be in bed. It can't be like close to bedtime. I'm just out of it. But she's like, I'm ready to like talk. Something that even as I was listening to your message too, of how I think, I don't think any of us are great at conflict. Because I think we struggle with listening. And something that I learned that I found to be really helpful, especially in the emotional reactivity. Again, listen back to the message if you want to get a little bit more in why we're talking about emotional reactivity. Is ask like, what did you mean by that? This is what I heard. Is that what you meant? Has saved me so much time, so many times, by just being like, and that to me is like a way of, instead of like, it's like when someone is, especially in conflict, to understand their position better is going to help your emotional reactivity, as opposed to just being like automatically disconnecting and being angry because you see it differently. If we come from a position where we're not great at communicating our emotions or communicating something that's like of tension within us, when you have someone that's able to draw that out and giving you time, as opposed to be like, no, this is what I think instead, just by asking, What do you mean by this? Mm. This is what I heard. Is that what you meant to say?
Yeah, that's like the curiosity. Yeah. Right? Like you talked about Jesus being humble and curious. And if you're coming at it defensive, if you're coming at the conversation trying to prove your own point or thinking your own thoughts about what you're going to say while the person is sharing, then you're not going to be able to say, well, what did you mean by that? You know, you're just ready to hit them hard with whatever you'd been planning in your mind while you weren't listening to what they were saying. Yeah.
I think that's one way to evaluate if you're a good listener or not. How many questions do you ask? Mm-hmm. You know, because I've noticed great listeners ask questions, right? It's like you said, hey, what did you mean by that? Like most people who aren't good listeners are often making statements, proving a point, whatever. But like really good listeners ask a lot of questions because there's that curiosity. Like I was engaged in what you were communicating. And out of that engagement, it caused me to wonder like, oh, what about this or how, like, explain this to me. And I've just noticed, like, even Jesus, right, oftentimes would ask really good questions. And so that's not always the case. Like, I don't want to like make it just one, you know, box, but I think great listeners ask a lot of questions.
You touched on this in your message as well about this kind of political divide, the kind of cultural thing of just echo chambers, confirmation bias, that kind of a thing. I'd love to dig into that a little bit more before we move on to the self and God.
Yeah, I mean, I just think our culture doesn't listen to opposing views anymore. And at some level, it's to our own detriment. We've been convinced that it's actually for our benefit, but it's really, I believe, at our detriment.
What does that look like? What does it look like for someone who's not listening to opposing views?
You mean like, what does it look like? Like, I mean, all they know is what they know. Right. Like, I think there's times where you hear the same thing over and over again, that it blinds you to some truth that you won't even hear anymore because you've been so ingrained. And I think a lot of people are like that. You know, you think about politics, like we just make it black and white. And when we live in an echo chamber, we make things that are often very gray, very complicated, nuanced, black and white. Yeah. And when we listen, it opens our heart to the grays and to the nuances, and that not every circumstance is the same and not every situation is the same. And we lose that ability to see the nuance, to see the gray, when we are just surrounded by people who say the same things to us over and over and over again. And I just think there's, and it doesn't even have to be a politics. It can be just life in general. Yeah. Like there's a beauty in having a lot of different perspectives and backgrounds. I think of food, right? I love food. Can you imagine if you just like hung around people who, you know, oh, like I'm an Italian, right? And Italians are this way. We think our food is the best. Right,
everyone
we make
the is best. That way.
And your family pasta recipe is the best.
Yes,
exactly. Okay. And like, can you imagine if you just live that way? We just ate the same style of food, but like, when you open, you go to different restaurants, and you're like, oh my word, this culture. You add this spice to this. Mm-hmm. It's like there's nuance to it, right? Mm-hmm. There's gray. Like I never knew you could do that. And like that's a small way of looking at like so many big things, and like we miss out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's like a piece too of people trying to stay safe. There's so much fear of the other that it's not just black and white. It's like one is safe and one is dangerous. Yeah. And I don't want to expose myself to people or thoughts that are dangerous to me because they're wrong or they're evil. And so, you know, I mean, we don't want to bathe ourselves in viewpoints that we don't agree in, right? So that's where we always talk about like, what are you watching on TV? What are you listening to? So there's a way in which we protect ourselves from things that we don't want to listen to that we don't think are good. Yeah. But where are we drawing the line of what is good and bad and what is just a different viewpoint, not actually sinful, right? Yeah. And are we allowing ourselves to be open enough to just understand our neighbors? Or maybe they're not our neighbors because the people that live around us are just like us and the people that work at our workplaces are just like us, right? And so how do we break through that into actually allowing ourselves to be around people that are slightly different than us. And I think that's where like the body of Christ is so good. We worship on Sundays with people mm-hmm. who are different than us, yeah. right? There's lots of different people that come to our church. And so we have that opportunity to start crossing some of those boundaries and hearing and listening, different viewpoints, different political stances, different heritage and background. And we can have the opportunity to listen mm. if we want to take it through the body of Christ.
Last question before we move on. Who should we listen to? And conversely, who shouldn't we listen to?
I mean, you should listen to a lot of people. Even people, like, even dangerous conversations, right? Like, you can still listen to them, but in the middle of listening to them, right? Like, the Holy Spirit, that's where you listen to the Holy Spirit that tells you, this isn't right, right? Yeah. This is dangerous, right? And then you say, okay, I'm going to pull myself away from that, right? I think ultimately we listen to God, right? That at the any form of listening, like, he is our source of truth. He is our guide, right? So like our greatest ear needs to be to him. Mm-hmm. But I think at some level you can listen to anyone with the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And if you truly are listening to him, he will guide you on like, hey, here's a voice that you should listen more to. Here's a voice that you should maybe distance yourself from. But I think, you know, we're going to do a series on spiritual maturity in a couple months. And I think at some point we have to be mature enough Christians to be able to listen to everybody, gain the insights from what they're saying and spit out the bones yeah. or whatever. Like, there is a level of maturity that we can listen to anyone and be able to hear what we need to hear and disregard what we need to disregard.
I was just listening to a book by Tozer about the Holy Spirit. And he was saying he was reading a lot of like the great minds who are all atheist. And he's like, yeah, you know, as I read them, sometimes I would get in about an hour in and then I would stop to pray. And sometimes I'd only get about 3 minutes in and then I would stop to pray. Yeah. And so it's not that you can't listen to things that, you know, that might challenge you or that might be different than what you think, but just bringing them always back to God yeah. and making yeah. sure that the Holy Spirit is guiding you through the listening of those things. And I think if you think as like from a protectionary standpoint, there is some goodness in understanding what are other people thinking? Yep. Where are they coming from? If we love our neighbors and our kids and our nieces and nephews and all the people in our lives, we want to kind of know what are the influences mm-hmm. that are coming at them mm-hmm. and what are they maybe being exposed to and how can I help to teach and to guide? And you can't know that right. without listening to right. it.
So you kind of mentioned, is it 100% listening? Is it 50% listening kind of a thing? Mm-hmm. And to me, I think there's a range there of how much you let someone speak into your life. Yep. Like if someone is not conveying the fruit of the Spirit, like I would very much caution them. Like you can listen to Joe Rogan, but I would watch how much you're influenced by them.
Yeah.
Or it could be different podcasters, you name it. But it's even people who are, if you're just listening to them because it's confirming your bias, it's probably not the best person to just be influenced by. We have to measure that, as you're saying, with the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about listening to God. This can be a bit nebulous because it's like, how do you know the voice of God? Like, and I honestly would love to ask that question, is how do you know you're hearing God? How do you listen to God?
I think people complicate this, right? Like, because we want, people want a special voice from God, right? Like, and I think people just have to be more convinced that God has already spoken. You just need to listen to what he's already said, right? Like, we know what God says because he revealed himself through the word. And so if you hear God's voice and it doesn't align with God's word, like, you're not hearing God, yeah. right?
It also sounds a lot like my wife. You know what I mean?
Exactly. This is
the voice of God.
There's too much truth to that to me wanting to admit it. But, you know, like, again, like, we want some supernatural, like, sky-opening moment. Like, God, go do this. Mm-hmm. Can I just, tell you honestly, it's most likely not going to happen, right? I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But, like, you want to hear God's voice? Read his stinking word.
So when do you... Because there's obviously different moments. You could argue, like, are going back to when, like, you came to Northridge, or any of us came to Northridge, or got a job, or something. There's a significant move. It's like, I believe God was either calling me or directing me. How do you discern that that's God?
I think peace, right? I think peace is a huge part. Like, okay, so many things in life, right? You're buying a house, you're changing jobs, there's decisions that you need to make, and you obviously are saying, God, lead me, direct me, help me to know. And, you know, even as a church, like as we go forward, like trying to find a different location, a campus, right? Mm-hmm. All of it in that, like you want to make wise choices within the boundaries of God's word. But at some level, you're like, okay, God, tell me this is right or wrong. And I think the way God does that is through just the Spirit of God is saying, be at peace. This is the right direction. Or he's like jumbling things. Like yeah. He's trying to like warn you. He's trying to say, no, I don't have peace. And when you don't have peace, that usually is a good indicator. Like, hey, listen, pay attention. This is not right.
That's also represented, I think, too, I've seen through the people are like close people around, like family members or friends that like I've seen people get married that the warning signs were there.
Yeah.
You just didn't listen.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think bringing other people into that practice with you. I think if you have a big life decision, you ought to be asking God about it. You should be bringing it to him, listening, like literally pray about it and then sit there in silence, listen to God and ask God, will you give me a spirit of peace or a spirit without peace?
Yep.
Like that consolation versus desolation. Am I feeling that God is in this or not? And that's after all the wisdom and is it biblical and is it moral? You know, after you check those boxes, then just God, this is the way that I am seeing that my life is going to go. Can you give me some confirmation here? Or if it's not, give me the opposite of that. And I think inviting other people into that practice with you can build your confidence as well, because it's hard sometimes to know, especially the closer you are to a thing or the more you want something, it's easier to say, oh no, this is what God has for me. I'm going to marry this person, right? And I was like, no, that's not what God has for you. So you need to invite your community. You need to invite your community group or your pastor, the people who are pouring into you spiritually into those big decisions, especially if you're feeling like, oh, I'm not sure. If you're getting that feeling, don't dismiss that. Dig into it. Bring it to the Lord and the Lord will respond to you.
Well, it's been some environments for you guys that has been true. Like when you've had to, it doesn't actually have to be a life event. Like it could be in the silence, it could be in a group, it could be in a tragedy, it could be, you know, what have been some of those environments where you feel like I feel like God's been here and I heard him?
For me, it was, we were in Georgia and I knew it was time to like transition away from the job I was at. I had peace about that, but I didn't know what was next. And so Ashley and I interviewed at a place in Tennessee and everything looked right. Like it felt right. And then we drove there and we spent a weekend there and it was an amazing church. Like it was awesome. Like I have nothing bad. Like there was no like giant red flag saying, don't go here. But as Ashley and I were driving away, from the interview, I just looked at her. I was like, hey babe, what do you think? And she's like, I loved it. It was amazing. I just don't feel at peace. Right. And I was like, babe, I don't know. I don't know how to say this, but like, I feel the same way. And literally like 2 days later, they called us and they're like, Drew, we think you're the perfect candidate for this job. But for some reason,
wow,
we just don't feel at peace.
Wow.
That's cool.
And it was just kind of like, okay, well,
sorry.
It's kind of really hard to say no to something that you're like, this is perfect this in every way. And like, it just wasn't.
Okay. Yeah. That's neat. That's really cool. I love that happened on both ends.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I think that doesn't always happen.
No,
right?
It doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's, I mean, I guess if you're tying it to like a specific decision, I really struggled with this when I was younger. I was feeling this like call to be in ministry, but I didn't see a clear path forward for that. So the concept of like, what is God's will for me versus what should I do? And like, I got to do something with my life, right? And so I remember I was applying to grad school and I was like, I'd like to maybe do something in ministry someday, but I guess I'm just going to trust God with that and like pursue audiology. And I really wasn't sure. And so I had I had a lot of different people praying for me, and the confirmation in that instance just kind of looked like a really good offer from a school. I was like, oh, that's an offer I cannot refuse. Yeah. And I prayed about it, and like I got that sense of peace. And I was like, God, I don't know why you would send me in this direction and not over here, but I'm just going to listen because I don't get the end of this tunnel. Mm. I don't get to see the mountaintop yet. So I'm going to just keep listening and following. And like, you know, now I've been practicing for 10 years and I've seen how God's turned that over and then planted me at Northridge and then used me and then I joined staff 6 years ago. So I've seen that whole process happen. Yeah. But at the time I thought, well, I guess you're calling me to something you don't want me to do, God. So yeah. I'll just do this other thing, you know? Sure. It's been a huge part of my story and so beautiful and like a really growing and stretching. And I also just love seeing patients. And so it's been a big part of my story. But at the time, it kind of was like, God's leading me into a step that doesn't make sense exactly for what I'm sensing from him.
Yeah. I think it practically too, just listening to God, like I can name so many moments, like, okay, sinful moments, right? Like when I was a teenager going to a website where God would say, you don't belong here. Right. Mm. And I remember going to parties and the Holy Spirit saying, this is not a place for you. Like, and I think we feel those things more than we care to admit. It's just a matter of whether we listen to it or not. And like, I think God does speak a lot, like through conviction, through just like, hey, there's been places where like it was normal and I've felt God say like, this, I don't want you here. Mm-hmm. Like, and yeah. It's just I think if we lean in and we have attentive ears, we will hear God in certain moments of our lives, even just like practical everyday, like choosing sin. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Like he's going to tell you, no, he's going to say, no, no, don't go there. Or like, you don't belong here, whatever that is. And I think you will feel that lack of peace or that like, oh, this is not who I am. This is not where I belong. Or yes, you should be here. Like, come, you know. Like,
or go talk to them.
Yeah, or talk to that person. Yeah, all those things. Yeah, yeah, like he does speak very loudly and very clearly. It's just, are we listening?
I know we're pushing it on time right now, but I wanted to get to listening to self. Now, it sounds, I'm curious as I say that, what that even means for you guys.
I think like when we think about our emotions, there's so many different ways that you could come from this. Some people are used to listening to their emotions and are so, like you talked about emotional reactivity, they're so focused on listening to their own emotions, they're not able to drink in what's going on inside someone else. But I think there's on the opposite side of the coin, like when I was growing up, some of the theology was like, don't trust your emotions.
Right.
And so you can also learn to just shut your emotions down or bury them. And that's not healthy either, because our emotions are stemming from somewhere. And I think sometimes God uses our emotions like that sense of peace to tell us and to lead us and to guide us. So we don't want to shut them down, but nor do we want to elevate them to like the most important thing. Mm. So there's this way of like, how do we, in a healthy way, listen to what's going on inside of us without making it king in our lives?
Good. Yeah, I think thought life is a huge place where listening goes on. I live in like, my mind like never stops. It's just the way God made me, right? Like there's a benefit. Like I memorize everything so well. I speak every sermon out in my head before I ever talk it out. Mm. And that's true for like any relationship I have. Like I am running constantly my own voice to my own self of like, oh, you know, like she said that. And like, I honestly think some of us there's two camps, right? Some of us need to like we said, Michelle, like understand our emotions and like listen to them. And then like, I'm the opposite. Like I need to like shut myself up, right? Like I need to slow my mind down. And like the things I'm telling myself about that person or this person or that person aren't always true, right? Mm-hmm. They are hurting you more than they're helping you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your own voice is the loudest liar in your head. And that's my world. Like I'm constantly in my own head. And so like, I need to filter my own voice through the lens of the Spirit.
That's really good. It's so interesting how we kind of need to balance those things where you have to mind like, what am I actually feeling right now? In both sense, to know, is this true or is this not true?
Yeah.
And even in some of the work that I'm doing in therapy right now is kind of revealing some of that, like realizing, oh, I've numbed part of myself in a survival mode kind of a thing through, I mean, would I call it trauma? Probably not in the classical sense, but there's situations that I've had to kind of stuff things down that by ignoring the self, and I think we have all of these things in different ways, and then it could erupt in an argument or erupt in a situation where you never knew it would come out. That's because we don't listen to ourselves or allow others or God to even speak into to validate those things, because we're not actually listening and being able to articulate what's going on in ourselves. But this has been a really interesting discussion. I feel like we could keep talking about this for hours and hours and hours, but I'm afraid we're out of time. I really do encourage you to go and check out this message from this past weekend on listening. Let's be that faithful presence that God has called us. Let's do that by listening well. There's so many tools out there. There's a couple of books we've referenced already. But let's go be a faithful presence to those around us by listening well, to caring, listening to God, being directed by Him, and see how God is going to work through us in that. See you next week as we continue the series on relationships. See you later.